I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is there anything that you don't do?
Time for Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7.
Getting my line. That's all. Getting my wing. Getting my line.
Scott Cordishy and Nick Coit.
You're not covering the Stanley Cup Finals. Go play some golf.
Golf.
I'll play some golf.
Golf.
All right. All right. Welcome back. Hour number two, Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI.
Good job, Laura. Good job with the open. Two things I loved about that. One was David Buddy screaming, "Go Devils! Go Devils!" The Seinfeld reference. And the second was a nice touch to start with the John Candy right there. You know what movie that's from? That's a younger generation movie. Scott, with that John Candy saying, "This is for all the marbles." Do you remember that?
Is it not Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Nope. So he plays the
Uncle Buck?
No. This is a newer sort of movie, and John, you know, later in his career, I'd say. Rookie of the Year, Henry Rowan Gardner.
I don't think I saw that.
You never seen that movie?
I didn't see it.
That's my favorite baseball movie.
I like John Candy,
and
too.
So he plays the announcer for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
And that's like they're playing the Mets in a one-game playoff to win the division. And, you know, that's what he says at the beginning of the game. And, oh, John Candy's fabulous in that movie. But that's the 12-year-old kid falls on his elbow and can throw 100 miles an hour. It's a great movie.
I just love the fat comedians like John Candy, Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Love those guys.
Oh, yeah. John Belushi. Yeah. Oh, man.
Belushi, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, 401-737-1287 is the phone number if you'd like to join Nick and myself. You can also text us. We got a ton of text still to get to on the text line at 37937. Talked predominantly Bruins in hour number one. We kind of twisted into, was that one of the more disappointing losses during this great run that New England sports teams have been on from 2001 to present? So we've been just talking about that. We can get into some other stuff as well. We talked briefly at the end of the hour about the NBA Finals and what should be a very interesting NBA offseason.
Oh, my goodness.
Where do the chips fall? You know, I mean, and the injury to Durant
That's
and Klay Thompson. And do you know they're still the odds-on favorite to win the NBA Finals next year? And I don't know why, because those guys are going to be out for the year.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Thompson, the earliest he could return would probably be like February.
And
right?
How great is he going to be when he returns?
Yeah.
He's coming off an ACL now.
But
so
Durant's out for the year, so forget about him.
Right.
Done, okay? You're out for the season. But then again, so who is the NBA favorite, right, to win the NBA Finals next year? Because we don't know if Kawhi's coming back to Toronto.
We don't know.
Okay, and even if he is, do you make them the odds-on favorite? Would Milwaukee
be? No.
I might say Milwaukee's that team.
Yeah, maybe.
Where does Anthony Davis wind up? Is he going to the Lakers to join LeBron? Maybe that tips the scales in their favor. Is Kawhi going to the Clippers? Does that make the Clippers the odds-on favorite? I mean, this is going to be incredible.
After this final series, and I know Houston just lost, but now does Houston look at what happened to Golden State and the injuries and say, well, maybe we keep this group together one more time. Maybe we can finally get out of the Western Conference. Maybe Houston keeps it all together. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. And look at the Celtics, too. When you subtract, because I think we all believe that Kyrie Irving is gone. I think we all believe it now. I think it's real. I think he's going to the Brooklyn Nets.
100%.
Yeah, and so I think they're going to move forward with what they have. You know, if they go out and they trade, we don't know if they're going to trade for Anthony Davis or not. We don't know how serious that is. And what that could do, you know, but without Kyrie Irving and with the group that you assembled and you had, you made it to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. And I know it was a down year, and I know how disappointing it was and the chemistry issues and everything with the Celtics, but can they be better? Can they make some additions here? Can they make some tweaks to the roster where they could compete with Milwaukee and compete with Toronto and get out of the Eastern Conference and get to the NBA Finals next year? There's a major opportunity for a lot of teams, including the Celtics here, if they make the right tweaks, to go out there and win an NBA title. Right now, there's no team that you look at and you say, well, they're going to win the NBA title.
Here's what I don't want to happen, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Obviously, you look back at what Toronto did. Right, sending DeRozan to San Antonio and bringing in Kawhi.
Yep.
Right? And regardless of what Kawhi Leonard's decision is to stay in Toronto or if he leaves, you have to say, was a great trade for the Raptors. It brought them an NBA title.
Yes.
Right. He delivered them an NBA championship, first in franchise history.
The first for the country of Canada.
I hope that Danny Ainge doesn't look at that and say, oh, that's all the more reason to go after Anthony Davis. Mm. Even if we have him for 1 year, we can win a title with this guy next year. I hope that's not what he's thinking, because Anthony Davis has made it pretty clear, and his side has made it pretty clear. If he goes to Boston, he is one and done. He's not staying. I don't want to mortgage the future for 1 year of Anthony Davis, and I'll tell you why. Because I think Anthony Davis is the 7-foot version of Kyrie Irving. Okay,
I heard this.
What's he won in New Orleans?
Tall Kyrie,
right? What's he won in New Orleans? He quit. He quit on his team down there too. I want no part of that guy. Please, Danny, do not give up all of your assets, your young talent, for 1 year of that guy thinking you can win a championship. Because I'm telling you right now, you can go get him. You're not winning a title with him next year. You're not.
Tall Kyrie. That's good. I like it. No, it's right. He's won one playoff series in his career. At least with Kyrie Irving, the guy hit one of the biggest shots in NBA Finals history and actually has a title to show for it. Like, at least with Kyrie, there's something there where you made a big trade and you thought you might get something there. It just turns out the guy is just a pain in the rear end. Anthony Davis hasn't done anything. You're right. He hasn't done anything. And so to mortgage the future, just with the young talent you have too, like the Kawhi for DeRozan trade, DeMar DeRozan, the Raptors had given it their best shots with DeMar DeRozan.
And they were a damn good team.
They were, absolutely, but they just didn't get done in the postseason. They ran into LeBron every year. Clearly, the mix there had run its course, and you needed to do something different. And so you credit Toronto for going out there, getting a veteran and a proven veteran in Kawhi Leonard, a guy that had won an NBA Finals and won an MVP. And you swap him for a guy that, yes, he was a franchise face and a stalwart and whatnot, but you give him it wouldn't be, the trade would look different if Danny Ainge goes out and he trades Jason Tatum as part of a deal to get Anthony Davis, because Jason Tatum's best years and best shots at NBA championships and success in the NBA, that's all ahead of him because he's such still a young player. And so to me now, in the climate that you're in and the situation that you're in and the cards that you've been dealt here, I think that you need to look at this and say, we move forward with the talent that we have. And who knows? Say, so you don't make the Davis trade and you keep Tatum and Brown and you keep those guys and Marcus Smart. Who knows? Maybe in a year or two, because he's not just focused on rehabilitating that injury, maybe the old Gordon Hayward, the real Gordon Hayward, shows up. All of a sudden, hey, you got yourself a decent squad. You got yourself a decent team.
So I teased going into the break, Mike Martin, Brown men's basketball coach, who you and I respect a great deal. I mean, the guy is terrific. He is a great coach, great person. But I mean, his team's always prepared. And there's going to be some interesting news coming out on Mike soon.
Yeah.
He said something to me, and he's right. I thought about this. I'm like, you know what? He's exactly right. If you look at the NBA and we talk about, you know, these elite stars and, you know, who can lead you to a championship, he said, in his opinion, there are three guys. You want to talk about the elite of the elite, the best of the best? The three guys are LeBron, Durant, and Kawhi.
Kawhi.
Okay?
Kawhi's in that category now.
After that, you still want to call these guys elite, fine, but they're at a different level, a lower level than those three. Now you can throw in whoever you want. You can throw Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. Throw in all the guys you want. But those three guys have really distinguished themselves as being above the pack, right? I mean, they are just the true super talents in the NBA. Now, how much more tread does LeBron have left on the tires? I don't know. He's getting up there in age. You know, Durant, how does he come back from the Achilles? Good question. We'll find out. I mean, if history's any indicator, guys can come back to form from it. You know, Dominique Wilkins did it many years ago, and I'm sure the technology now in repairing torn Achilles is a lot better today than it was when Dominique Wilkins tore his. So,
well, and he's an elite talent, an elite of an elite.
But I
scorer.
Agree with Mike that those three guys have really separated themselves from the pack. And then you can take the rest of them, and you want to include Kyrie, go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
Honest,
not
man.
Even close. The fact, I'm talking about including Kyrie with that next tier,
next tier
of stars.
Yeah.
But those three are in a tier by themselves.
And Joe makes a good point with Giannis. Giannis has got to go out there. He's got to win at some point. He's got to. The reason Kawhi, I think, is in that category, especially now, is that he just got himself another title. I think Giannis has the potential. Giannis made himself better. He improves every year. And which is why I think if you're talking about odds on favorites to win the NBA title next year, I might look and say the Milwaukee Bucks because
that's what I said.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the latest odds. So they came out with the odds and Milwaukee wasn't, but they are now.
Who's
so right
one?
Now, Milwaukee is the odds on favorite at 9-2.
Okay.
Right behind them at 5-1, Golden State.
Okay.
Then the Lakers at 7-1.
Oh, get out.
But they're projecting Anthony Davis going to L.A. That's what that's all about.
Yes,
that's
right,
what that right. number is about. They are right. assuming Anthony Davis winds up in L.A. because if you believe everything you read and hear, the two teams making a play for him are the Celtics and the Lakers. And I think when push comes to shove, the Celtics aren't going to get him. And maybe Danny truly doesn't want to take that risk if he can only get him for a year. So I think it makes sense that he's going to the Lakers.
Yeah, I do too. And I also think that Danny, I think, is playing this right too with the Davis deal in that I think he's got something on the table right now with the Pelicans. But I think the Pelicans are trying to put the Celtics and the Lakers in a bidding war against each other. And I think Danny's going to look at this and I'm going to say, I'm not getting in a bidding war for a guy. Yes, I know what he is. I know the talent he is. But I'm not getting in a bidding war for a guy that I'm only going to have for a year. I'm not overpaying. If the Lakers want to do that, by all means, go right ahead. But we have a good situation here with a good coach and good young talent where I don't need to make the Anthony Davis deal. I don't. I think he now knows that. Even if he was to make the Anthony Davis deal, it's not going to persuade Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's going to the Nets.
He's done.
He's going to the Nets.
He dumped his agent to go with Jay-Z's.
Rock Nation.
So it all points to Brooklyn.
It does.
It's a done deal.
And you know what, Kyrie? Bye-bye.
Don't let the door hit you with a good
later.
Lord split you.
I've finally made it there, Scott. I've been cautious with it, whatever, but he is a different kind of cat. I think we're now resigned to that.
Yep.
He's signing with the Brooklyn Nets.
I cannot wait to boo his ass when he comes back in a Nets uniform.
D'Angelo Russell's available, though.
That's an interesting one. Russell's an interesting one. Another young player, young guard, had himself a decent time here in Brooklyn. So if they part ways with him, maybe you look at that if you're the Celtics.
So before we get back to the calls, let me just to finish up on the NBA odds, right? So Milwaukee won at 4.5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State 2 at 5-1 odds, which I think is too high considering their injuries. The Lakers next at 7-1. That's third. Fourth, Toronto at 8-1.
Okay.
At fifth, the Rockets at 9-1.
Yep.
Sixth, the Clippers at 12-1.
We're going down the list here.
Are they assuming maybe that Kawhi is going to be there? Because I would suggest that number should be maybe a little higher if Kawhi goes. The Sixers are seventh at 14-1. And then the Celtics are tied for eighth at 20-1 with, ironically, the Brooklyn Nets.
Woof! I guess with Kyrie, with an elite talent like that, absolutely. I get it. But I think with going forward here with the young talent that you have, we saw it. We saw it with 2 years ago with the Eastern Conference Finals run and whatnot, what Brad Stevens can do with that kind of talent. So it'll be interesting. I'm not banking on the Celtics getting to the NBA Finals next year, but I'm interested to see, okay, if you go forward with this young core, what they can do. What they can do with the, pain in the rear end out of the locker room now with Kyrie Irving and Brad being able to be the Brad Stevens coach guy again and get the most out of his players guy again. And we'll see what happens with Gordon Hayward in the second year after the injury. I really look at that and I say I'm interested to see what he'll be, what he can do for this team. Because I think the young players can be inconsistent in any sport. We just saw it with the Bruins with a guy like a Jake DeBrusque. The inconsistencies happen with young players, especially in their second, third seasons. So I thought Jaylen Brown actually had a decent finish to the year last year, too. So what happens when they get their hands on the ball more? Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, too. I think Marcus Smart might be your starting guard next year.
Look, I wouldn't be disappointed if Danny moved a guy like a Jaylen Brown just to free up minutes for Hayward. So because you got Tatum, Brown, and Hayward, three of those guys competing for the minutes at two spots.
Sure.
So getting rid of one of those guys, to me, preferably not Tatum, I would be okay with. Let's go to the calls before we take our first break of the second hour, and we've got DJ in Fall River who wants to talk about the Celtics. Good morning, DJ. You're next with Cordishy and Coit.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, DJ?
The NBA is the only major sport where the off season is better than the regular season.
You know what? You might be right there, DJ.
I know it is intriguing. Right.
It's intriguing.
Now, my question, I got a couple of questions. Number one, is there any player on the Celtics that you would deem untouchable?
No, I could not say that about anybody on this roster now.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Anthony Davis, I'm not big on him because I agree with you. He's won nothing. He's won nothing. And I think he quits on his team when he knows they're not going to make the playoffs or they're not going to be. I wouldn't throw everything at him for 1 year. I would not do it.
And I don't think Danny's going to do that. It sounds like it.
Now, you guys were talking about disappointing, what team was disappointing. By far, it's the Celtics. By far, by a mile, on paper, they had the most talent. They were the deepest team. Charles Barkley said it at the beginning of the year. He said, the Celtics have the most talent on that team. And my other point is, I think the biggest mistake Brad Stevens and or Danny Ainge made was starting Gordon Hayward. He should have had to earn his starting minutes, and he didn't. I think that gave a bad taste to the whole team when he was starting in front of Jalen Brown.
But he rectified that pretty quickly. I mean, Hayward went to the bench and accepted
a quarter of the season it took him to go to the bench.
It's true. No, and we've talked about this before, DJ, too. And it absolutely, I think, played a factor in the whole chemistry in the locker room and saying, like, well, what the heck? You know, this guy's coming off the injury. You know, I deserve to start, you know, and that sort of thing. There was a lot of things that contributed to the bad chemistry mix. But I agree with you. I think that was one of them because it didn't come off well with the younger players who had just gotten to the Eastern Conference Final, which was another element in the chemistry, and the bad mix was the fact that they got all the way there. And prime example was Terry Rozier. That was the prime example in the fact
that they should have moved him in the offseason.
Absolutely. And I think I've heard the guy's already cleaned his place out, and he is gonzo. He's out of town. He's not coming back.
Now, you guys were talking about the top players in the league. I don't think LeBron is in that. I don't think he's in
the
top four.
Yes,
he is.
Yes,
he is. Yes, he is.
You still think he is?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my
absolutely.
Man.
Yeah.
I know.
I think you guys got to refocus on that opinion. I think
no way.
So.
No way. Mm-mm,
he's
no
like
way.
34.
Not yet.
How old is he? 34?
Yes.
34?
The Lakers didn't make the postseason this year because he missed, 17, 18 games?
Well, and
something
they purposely
like that.
Shut him down also, just because they said that once they got eliminated, they're like, that's it.
When LeBron is LeBron, he is still one of the best players in the world.
But
period.
He does need some support, you know.
But everybody does.
I don't think he can do it on his own anymore. Let me rephrase my statement. I think LeBron needs people around. He's an old 34. You know that.
Oh, he's logged a lot of miles.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. He's a Mercedes-Benz with 200,000 on it. Yep.
But the Mercedes-Benz is still running really well.
He averaged 27.5 points, had 8.5 rebounds, 8.5 assists per game. Oh,
LeBron's still there.
Shot 51% from the field.
I'll put it this way. If you get Anthony Davis to Los Angeles, that absolutely makes them a contender in the West.
I wouldn't disagree.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think the Celtics are going to do with all these picks they're getting in this draft? They got to make a move. They got to. They can't have, you know, they got Time Lord on the bench. They're going to have other first-round picks.
It's a good question. I mean, there's no way that if they keep all these picks, and DJ, thanks, we got to run. There's no way all these guys are going to make the roster, right?
No, I mean,
just
no, no,
can't.
No, no.
So,
no.
unless they just plan on stashing guys in the D League. I don't know what their plan is. You would think some type of move's coming. I think the bigger question is Rozier definitely going to be a part of this team now? Does he have to be a part of this team? Really?
I do. I've heard that he's already cleaned his place out.
I know. But you're gonna be hurting at the point guard position.
Oh, believe me. I think if I'm Danny, I'm absolutely making a pitch to bring him back, especially if I know Kyrie's gone. But at the same time, I also look at how much of a pain he was. That ESPN car wash he went through, that was bad, Scott. That was a guy crying over his minutes. The way he I'm sorry. I know he got to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, not last year, but the year before.
Yep.
But who do you think you are, Terry? Really?
He thinks he's like a top 10 point guard.
I know. And that's, you know what? Hey, it's good to have that kind of mentality, but I'm sorry. You haven't won anything. Not Jack Dealey.
But now that he knows and the Celtics know that Kyrie's gone, that may light the fire under his butt.
But
and,
do you want after him contributing to the bad chemistry back?
I'm okay with that because I think his bad chemistry was a result of, you know, obviously he started in the playoffs a year before and flourished when Kyrie was on the bench and all of a sudden he lost all that. I understand him being disgruntled. I'm more disappointed in Kyrie not being the leader that he was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think now with Kyrie out of the picture, I would be more than happy with to have Rozier back.
How I might play this is don't go out there right now and sign him right away. Let the market play itself out. If somebody wants to throw money at Terry Rozier, let him go. Let him go. But I think I let the market play out because I think he might get humbled by that. I think the market might play out where somebody's not going to throw money at Terry Rozier, and then all of a sudden Terry Rozier is going to come back to Boston and say, oh, okay. Well, I guess I wasn't as worth what I thought I was. And then Danny has the ultimate play and says, okay, well, we're going to sign you for on our terms, on our money, on our deal, and you're going to help the team. And he's humbled a little bit. That's sort of a Patriot thing. You know, that's a Patriot Belichick way of playing the free agency. I think that's how I would play it. Because if somebody wants to, the Phoenix Suns or somebody wants to throw money at Terry Rozier, by all means, take them. Go ahead.
All right. Dan and Cranston wants to talk about David Ortiz. We get to his call next on Cordishi and Coit on WEEI.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.